morning. Let us pray. God, our guide and our protector, as we gather today in your holy house, open our minds and souls and hearts that we may be inclined to hear the gentle direction of your Spirit in our lives. Help us to follow you as you lead us to the land you have created for us, where we may dwell with you and in you. Amen. Good morning and welcome to Central. This is a special Sunday at Central. It's a special family service. So we have the kids grades 1 to 8 in the service with us. And this is a special message and presentation for the families here today. So if you remember way back to our December family service, I spoke about suffering and many of you told me it resonated with you. So I wanted to revisit the topic of suffering, long-term pain, and challenging seasons. Because what if what you were suffering with last year hasn't gone away? What if life hasn't gotten any easier? What if your prayers haven't been answered? My husband, Matt, is still suffering. His mobility went way down over the last few months. And at the same time, the Lord is leading us to make films in our videography business. He's bringing us interesting and meaningful projects. And we're like, how are we going to do this, Lord? Filmmaking is so physical. Life can seem scary and nearly impossible at times. And we could say, I can't do this. This is too hard. I'll never finish it. It's hopeless. Or we can trust that the Lord will make a way. So here's a disclaimer I think we all maybe forget at times. So listen closely. God never promised it would be easy. There isn't anywhere in this book that tells us that if you follow God, it'll be all rainbows and unicorns. Society tells us that if you check all the boxes, you will have a perfect life. But it's just not true. No matter if you have zero health issues, bag loads of money, awesome friends and family, you will face struggles. This is not our home. Amen? So I want to ask you, what if illness, trauma, tragedy, hard things give us a glimpse into God's awesome power? What if suffering brings us closer to God and grows us in ways we could have never imagined? What if our past struggles give us the wisdom to help someone who is struggling today? And this brings me to our scripture passage. It comes from Romans 5, 1 to 5. So if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn to Romans 1, 5, 1 to 5. Therefore, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we boast in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character. And proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Are you looking for hope, or are you looking over your shoulder for the next bad thing to happen? I have two stories I want to share with you today from the darkest season of my life, one where it felt like everything depended on me. I was constantly fearful that one wrong move would send everything crashing down. Now, I have ADHD and a chronic illness called fibromyalgia, and when I get really stressed or I overdo it, I get sick. When Matt and I lived in downtown Toronto, I'd take the subway to work. I had a stressful job that was constantly challenging my ethics and my morals, and it was so exhausting to constantly navigate the tension of standing up for my beliefs and also keeping my job because I had the responsibility of taking care of my sick husband at home. So I was holding one of those bars on the TTC when I started panicking from all the pressure I was putting on myself. I felt the Spirit say to get off at the next stop and to not worry about my job today. So when the doors opened, I thrust myself out and I made it to the back wall of the platform when I just crumbled in on myself. I was just trying to breathe and calm down when I saw a hand thrust a water bottle in my face. A man had watched me get off the subway and ran to a vending machine to get me a cold water bottle. And it might not seem like much, but it was just this amazing reminder of hope and God's goodness when I felt so alone in the middle of the big city. And I think of that kindness and it gives me hope. God was whispering to me, "Do not fear, little one. I will go with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. Keep going." At the same time, we lived in a crumbling building at the corner of Parliament and Girard. And if you know Toronto, you won't be surprised to learn that there was a drug operation next door, gun violence in our backyard, and one time I had to wait for a man to finish urinating on my stoop in order to enter my apartment. Needless to say, our parents worried. I was working and finishing my master's degree, and one month we didn't have enough money to pay the rent. We were stubborn and didn't want to ask our parents, though they would have gladly loaned us the money. I wasn't sure what to do. It was just all too much. I could barely think over the enemy's shouts in my mind. Quit school. Move home. Give up. You'll never finish. You can't do this. So I half-heartedly called out to Jesus, asking him for help. And he quietly whispered, "Trust me, do not fear, be strong and courageous." So I continued trudging along, working on the responsibilities that God had given me to do. And the day before the rent was due, we received this check in the mail, and it was the money we needed. It was a bonus check from work I had done the past summer, and that $600 was exactly what we needed to pay the rent. Grace. Hope. Do not fear. I will go with you. And what I learned was that we can choose to worry, to listen to the enemy, give up when things are tough, or we can pay attention to hope. So let's talk about another people who felt forgotten, lost, and fearful, the Israelites. After 40 years in the wilderness and Moses' death, his right-hand man, Joshua, was left to lead the Israelites to the land that they were promised. But the way to the promised land was through a raging river, and then on the other side of that raging river was a military stronghold. Can you imagine what the Israelites were thinking? They've come this far. They're almost there. They were probably like, "God, are you nuts? I cannot handle one more river that we have to cross. This isn't worth it. Let's turn around. Let's give up. We'll never make it to the promised land." But God said, "Step into the Jordan River. I will make a way." And he did. He parted the waters for the Israelites to walk through. So they get to the other side, and then they see the armed fortress that is Jericho. It was also the center of trade and commerce and agriculture at the time. So again, the Israelites were like, "How can we be safe in this land? How will we make a living and prosper when these idol-worshipping people own everything?" So God tells Joshua four times to be strong and courageous, asking him to trust in the Lord as his true source of strength. And he asks the same of us. Joshua did not have all of the answers to face the challenges that were set before him, but God counseled him to go forward anyway, acting in faith. Now, Joshua sent two spies ahead of the camp to check out the sitch in Jericho. Now, they would have been scared. They probably thought Joshua was sending them on a death mission, and even if they made it into the city, no one would help them once they were there. They'd be found out for sure, but they went anyways because they trusted God would show them the way. Are you seeing a pattern here? While they were there, they met a woman named Rahab, who had heard of the God of the Israelites. she had heard of that God's power. And she agreed to hide the spies from the king's guards who were looking for any Israelites who may have snuck into Jericho. Jericho's leaders were worried when they heard that the Israelites' God had parted the raging River Jordan. So Rahab hid the spies under stalks of flax. And in these times, young flax plants were used to make cloth, and ripe, tougher flax was made for, was used for sturdy material such as rope. And the harvested flax needed to be laid out before redding, a process involving soaking the flax in stagnant water in order to separate the usable fibers. The stalks were then laid out again to dry thoroughly, so it was smart of Rahab to hide the spies under the drying flax that was on her roof because the guards would have never thought to look under this smelly, soggy mess. Which would have also made hiding underneath that very unpleasant for the spies, something akin to burying yourself in a pig pen. When the coast was clear, Rahab told the spies to climb down through her window by using a rope. Her home was built into the city wall, so they were able to get out of the city and escape. But before the spies left, they told Rahab they would protect her and her family because of her faithfulness. All she needed to do was hang a red rope outside of her window. Why did Rahab help them? Why did she risk her livelihood and her family's safety to help these random men? In Joshua 2:18, the Hebrew word for rope was tikva. The root verb of this word is kava, which describes the act of combining multiple strands and coiling those into a single, much stronger cable. It also means to hope and eagerly await, to stretch out your mind in the direction of hope. See, we only have two options when times are difficult. We can either stretch out in the direction of hope, or we can let the arms of the enemy stretch us towards sin. That same flax that hid the spies was also used to save Rahab and her family. Rahab, a woman labeled by her sin and low societal status, could have easily let her fear of retribution overcome her faith to help the spies. But instead, she was transformed into a woman permanently labeled by God's grace and hope. Hope is a rope. When the Israelites marched on Jericho, the spies moved Rahab and her family to safety so they wouldn't be killed. Now God told Joshua's army to walk straight up to this armed fortress and make a big circle while completely exposed to Jericho's army. Can you imagine how they felt? God told Joshua, "I've given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, you are to march around the town 7 times. With the priests blowing the horns, when you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can, then the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town." Joshua 6:1-5. So even though they were scared, the Israelites did as they were told. God promised to deliver his people to the promised land. The Israelites had to do their part. They needed to trust and to wait. They had to stretch out their minds in the direction of hope, trusting the Lord would say, "I would do as he said." When the enemy tempts us to change direction, we need to fight our desire to give up. Rahab's kava, or hope, led the way to our greatest hope, Jesus. This is recorded in Matthew 1:5-6. Solomon fathered Boaz by Rahab. Boaz fathered Obed by Ruth. Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered King David, which leads us to the lineage of Jesus himself. Don't tie your hope to a job, spouse, sport, grade, purchase, house. Tie your hope to a rope. The rope that leads to salvation. This month at Kids Zone and Youth Zone, we've been learning about what it looks like to never give up and to bounce back when things are hard. And so we wanted to share this message here with you all today. Sometimes we wander in the wilderness of our own lives and face temptation to fall away when things get hard. We become bitter and lose hope. What is God doing in your life? What is he teaching you? What has he given you? Hope is a rope, a bridge that delivers us from one day to the next, a cord that connects us to Jesus. Ask God to show you the hope, the glimpses or sparkle of the Spirit in your life. As you await deliverance from your situation, whatever it is, focus on deepening your relationship with God. Focus on the gift of Jesus' act of love on the cross, which means the power of sin no longer has a hold on us. Focus on the hope. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you so much for this church. Thank you for those who heard your words today and want to choose hope instead of fear. Thank you for those who are still seeking. Let your word be buried deep in their hearts. Lead us home, O God, when we wander lost in the wildernesses of our own making. We hear your voice calling, but go our own way. We remember your teachings, but instead follow the foolish desires and whims of our hearts. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us home, where we follow your paths and do the work you have for us. Amen.